Turn with me to Luke chapter 22. I struggled really this week teaching Sunday school, and then I've spent time on that, and I struggled with what to preach today, and I really believe this is not mine. This is where the Lord wants me, and so I'm going to preach on this morning, according to what God laid on my heart. In Luke chapter 22, we will read in just a few minutes verses 54 through 62. We will read those momentarily. And I guess if I had a title that I would give this message, it would be this: I've fallen and I can get up. You remember that commercial where that poor old lady, I mean, it's that, talk about make you sad, that'll break your heart. You know, it pans in and she's laying there at the bottom of the steps and she's crying out, "I've fallen and I can't get up." And, you know, that's sad. And it's never good to see anyone fall. I heard this joke and I thought it was fitting for today. But, you know, Faith Healer came to town and he filled up this auditorium. And he's down in front and he says, "The Lord has laid on my heart that there's two people here right now that are going to be healed." He said, "Where are you? Where are those two people?" Man ran down the aisle. His name was Harry. Well, Harry's problem is he had a lisp. When he spoke, he had a lisp. He asked him what his ailment was. He told him that. He said, "I can't talk white." He was instructed to go behind a curtain. Another man hobbled down on a set of crutches. He's hobbling down on the crutches. And you know, he walks down there. And his name is Frank. Let me go back now. He's instructed. Another man hobbled down on crutches. His name was Frank. He said, "I haven't walked in 20 years without crutches." So he's told to go behind the curtain there with Harry. And the healer said to Frank, "You've been healed. Slide those crutches out under that curtain one at a time," and out come them crutches. And when the crowd, you know how them services, you might have seen them on TV or whatever, but them crutches come sliding out below the curtain, and crowd went wild, you know. "Praise the Lord, you know, he's been healed." So he put them crutches out, and the crowd goes wild, and he says, he declares Harry to be healed. "Harry, the next sentence you speak," told Frank he was healed, then he said, "Harry, you're healed." That was the man with the lisp. He said, "Harry, the next sentence you speak will be the first you've ever said normally. Usher, take him a mic. What would you like to say, Harry?" Then everyone got silent as Harry said, "Frank fell down." I thought that was fitting for opening this sermon. It's never a good thing to fall, is it? You know, you can fall out, you can fall away, you can fall to pieces, and you can fall down. And it's never good to fall down. You know, we've had some instances here at the church, and if you've ever seen anybody that's older fall down, it's not a pleasant sight. I remember when Granny was still alive, and she fell here in the sanctuary, and I was in the sound booth, and I mean, she just collapsed, wham, and fell down, broke her hip, and I mean, it was bad. I think her hip actually broke before she fell, to be honest with you, but she fell. I remember when Brother Dave Furry fell back in the gym, and I didn't see it, but I was standing there with my turn the other way, and I heard him hit. And when you hear that sound, there's no mistaking that sound. It's never a good thing to fall down. I see my dad fall in the woods one time, and I don't know, it's something about, as a child, seeing your parent fall, even in the woods, that bothered me. I don't know what it was. He didn't get hurt, but it bothered me. Never a good thing to fall down. But I want to talk about falling spiritually, and you're never a failure. And here's what I want to get to. You're never a failure because you fall. Because the truth is, all of us at one time or another stumble in our Christian life. Can I get amen? We all have days when we're not on top of the mountain. We all have days when we're feeling maybe a little bit overwhelmed. And we all have times in our life when we stumble a little bit. But listen, you're only a failure if you stay down one more time than you get up, right? You just got to get back up. Proverbs 24:16 says, "For a just man falls seven times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." Now I want to ask you something. What would you think of a preacher that denied Christ, lost his temper, and then began to curse? You wouldn't let him up here behind the pulpit, would you? You'd say, uh-uh, I don't want to hear that guy preach. Well, you wouldn't think much of him. I mean, you think that guy's the biggest failure there ever was. You think, God can't use somebody like that. Well, I've got news for you. God did, and God does. Right? Let's read the passage. Verse 54 of Luke 22. Having arrested him, they led him, talking about Jesus, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. That, just a side note here, it's never good to be following Jesus from a distance. You're always going to get in trouble when you're not as close to the Lord as you ought to be, right? So he's following from a distance. That's the first lesson we learn from this passage. Now when they had kindled, verse 55, and I'm reading from New King James this morning. Now when they kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, this man was also with him. But he denied him, saying, woman, I do not know him. Now this is Peter talking here. I don't know him, he said. After a little while, another saw him and said, you are also with them. Peter said, ma'am, or man, I am not. Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, surely this fellow was with him, for he's a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So Peter went out, and he wept bitterly. Can you imagine that? Peter, the guy that walked with the Lord, the guy that did such great things, there was a time in Peter's life when he was following at a distance. You know what the second lesson we learn in this before we get to the message is, right? Now you know why preachers want to eat all the chickens they can get a hold of, right? The rooster told on Peter, and we've been trying to get rid of it. I heard that from Brother Lester a long time ago. But can you imagine Peter doing this? Denying the Lord, vehemently denying, lying, cursing. I mean, how bad can it get? Man, you, listen, he's falling here. But here's what I want to tell you. I want to give you three truths about falling, about Peter's falling here, Peter's failure. Number one, failure doesn't have to be a hitching post, right? Failure does not have to be a hitching post. Failure can be a guidepost. We can learn from our failures. God can bring good out of the bad. Don't wallow in it. Don't stay in that place. Some people feel so defeated when they fall that they just want to throw their hands up and quit. Don't do it. Listen, when you fail, when you fall, get up again. And go for the Lord. Listen, I was thinking about this. You know, there's been so many times in my life that I have failed. So many times. You know, as a child, as a young man, as a teenager, I failed so many times. And you know, my parents, if they don't keep a record of it, but they probably could remember if I reminded them how many times I failed as a child. Now, you could probably relate to this. I mean, and my dad... When my dad introduced me, if I meet someone with my dad never says, hey, this is my son. He's the dummy that was on the back of my motorcycle in West Salem and opened his mouth and a big old fly flew in there. Now, you know you got to have more sense than to open your mouth real big when you're on a motorcycle. He never introduced me like that. He never introduced me as the guy that when I put my first speaker in a car, rather than drill a hole and cut a hole like that, I'm saying, well, I just took a saber saw and cut right down the side of the quarter panel. Got to it. He's like, what are you doing? He never introduced me as a dummy that cut right down the side of a quarter panel to put a speaker in. First one I ever did. He never introduces me as the teenager that was carrying his shotgun. I tripped while I was hunting, got a little mud in the barrel, and then shot it. Didn't realize it was in there. Shot it, and the end of the barrel bubbled up. Just ruined a perfectly good shotgun. Man, that would just make you sick, wouldn't it? He probably don't even think about those things. And when he introduces me, if we meet someone, you know what he always says? He says, I want you to meet my son. And oftentimes he'll say, he's also my pastor. See, he doesn't keep a record of all my wrongdoings. And I want to tell you something. God does not keep a record when you and I ask God to forgive us. The Bible said, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. My Heavenly Father does not see me as a dad that has made mistakes. He doesn't keep that up and then hit me with them. He doesn't see me as a husband that has made mistakes along the way. He doesn't remind me that in 2004, when I left the previous church I was pastoring, I was ready to get out of the ministry. I was overwhelmed. I was burned out, and I had just about enough. But He never brings that up. You know why? Because my Heavenly Father, now listen, doesn't want me to dwell on my failure. He wants me to move forward in victory today. Failure doesn't have to be a hitching post. Don't stay there and wallow in it and dwell on it. And listen, the devil will bring them up. But let me tell you, if you've asked God to forgive you, failures can be just something that can guide us in our next life's experience. Now listen, let me just put a disclaimer here. This message is not intended to, make light of sin or make light of that. That's not the intention. The intention is for us to realize that we're human and sometimes we fail. The second truth about failure: when we fail God, and if we fail God, oftentimes it is in our areas of strength. Now that seems almost like an oxymoron, doesn't it? But it's true. Let me prove it to you. Now, what would you think? Just think for a minute. What would you think would be Peter's area of strength? I would say Peter's area of strength would be his courage. That's what kind of comes to my mind. Peter wasn't afraid to speak up, right? Peter wasn't afraid to get out of the boat, right? I mean, we criticize poor old Peter because he got out of the boat and then he sunk, but there was 11 other guys in that boat that wouldn't get out. So when he saw Jesus and said, "Lord, if it's you bid me come," he was the only one that had enough courage to step out on a sea that was pretty tumultuous and walk on water for just a few minutes. But he gets a bad rap because he sunk. But it was courage that brought him out of that, I'll tell you that. When they arrested Jesus, they came to the Garden of Gethsemane, they arrested Jesus. Who was it that pulled out a sword? It was Peter. He's not a soldier. He's not a mercenary. He probably hasn't even been trained on how to use this thing. He's a fisherman. That's what he does for a living. And yet when this crowd, this multitude of people came to take Christ, he was willing to pull a sword and stand his ground and protect and defend Jesus Christ. Now, we know he got rebuked for it because that's not what the Lord wanted. But Peter's courage, time and again, comes to the surface. But where is he defeated here? Where does he fall? His courage. A young maiden comes to him. A female, a girl. I mean, that's what it says. She comes to this big old, and I don't know how big he was, but I get an idea Peter was a big old burly fisherman. Gnarly hands, strong back. And this young maiden, it says, comes in and says, "Hey, weren't you with him?" And what does he do? Rather than stand his ground, dig in, he gets fearful. He gets afraid. He fails in the area of where he should have been strong. You want to know why that happens? Well, let me give you some more examples before I tell you that. I want to get this out. Think about this. Moses, it says, you know what Moses' description is? He's a meek man. Bible says he was a meek man. And you know what that means? Doesn't mean weak. It means, and Brother Josh taught this when he was in Matthew 5, it means strength under control. It means controlled strength. That's what it means. But where did Moses get defeated at? He lost his cool, right? He killed an Egyptian. He smote the rock in the area of his strength. Abraham, called the father of faith, right? He's the faithful one. He had so much faith. He believed God. It was counted unto him for righteousness. But when he went down to the land of Egypt because there was a famine in his land, what happened? He didn't have enough faith to believe that God could watch over him and his wife, and so he lied to the Pharaoh and said, "Sarah is my sister." David, a picture of purity, the apple of God's eye, God's God's man, David, we know so much about him, and yet where did he fail at? He failed when he saw a woman, lusted after her, and went after her. He failed in the area of his strength. Now the why. These failed in the area of their strength, and you want to know, here's what I believe. I believe in the areas of our strength, sometimes we let down our guard. I believe sometimes in the areas of our strength, we think that we got it handled. We think that we got it covered, and therefore we don't have to worry about it. But let me tell you, an unguarded area in our lives, no matter if it's a strength or a weakness, is open game to the devil. And when you let down your guard, the devil is going to know about it. Now, Peter, and we have this instance in Peter, look back in verse 33, he says in this same chapter, he says, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Now, in Matthew 26, and coincidentally, verse 33, we have the same account given by Matthew's. And he says this, Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. You get that? Peter is depending on his own strength. You know, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Seems to me Peter is saying, Lord, they might deny you. They might back down on you. They might do that. But Lord, you can count on me because I'm strong. I can do this and I will never turn back. And so in the area of his strength, he left unguarded. And that is exactly where the devil attacked him. And he lost his courage. You know what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:12? It says, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Well, if we fail God often, it is in the area of our strength. It doesn't have to be a hitching post. It can be a guidepost. And the third one is this. Before we sin, the devil is a tempter, right? And now everybody experiences this. Anybody and everybody experiences temptation. I don't care who you are. And I don't think it matters how old you are. I think in some way we all experience temptation. I mean, if Jesus Christ was tempted, right? The devil came to him and he tempted Jesus Christ. And what a terrible temptation that was. He never sinned though. But he comes to everybody and he tempts everybody. And he says to you, here's what he says. Now listen, see if this sounds familiar. It'll be okay. You know, a little bit won't hurt. Well, you know, I don't think the Bible's clear on that. Has anybody heard that? I mean, you know, he says, no one will know. You know, nobody's going to know about this. You can handle it. It's not hurting anybody. I mean, my goodness, don't you need to have a little bit of fun? Have you heard that? That's the devil. He's a tempter. Listen, when you got to have a wrestling match in your conscience, when you got to have a wrestling match with some sort of other voice in your heart and your mind, whether you ought to do something or not, can I give you some advice? Don't do it. Amen. Don't do it. So he's a tempter and he tempts everyone, but guess what? After he tempts you and you take part of whatever it is that he's trying to get you to do, the devil's real, folks. Guess what he becomes then? He becomes an accuser. See, a lot of folks think the devil's their friend when they're sinning, but then after they sin, they find out he's their enemy. He's definitely, because you know what he does? He not only wants to get you to fall, he wants to get you to stay there. He wants to put his foot on your neck and keep you down. And then he starts saying this, I told you you're not worthy. I told you you couldn't live this life. I told you you're nothing. God don't love you. I told you you're not a good Christian. I told you all of those things. See, he tempts you to sin. Oh, and it sounds good and it looks good because he paints a pretty picture. But then after you sin, he becomes the accuser and he wants to hold you down. He wants you to get to doubt God's intention in your life. He wants you to distrust God's word. And he wants you to question who you are in Christ. Well, let me give you, that's three truths about falling. Now I got another 3-point sermon to give you about being successful in our falls. Are you ready for this? I'll be quick, okay? Number one, when we fail, God is still sovereign.
Amen?
God is still sovereign. This is illustrated to us in verse 60 when it says, Peter said, I don't know him, and immediately the rooster crowed. Out of all the roosters all around, they didn't have alarm clocks, they had a lot of roosters. Out of all the roosters around, the one rooster crowed at the exact time and the exact place and the exact moment that he needed to crow. You know what that tells me? That even in Peter's failure, God was still in control. God is sovereign. Can you imagine what Peter thought? He'd had this conversation with the Lord. Lord, they might deny you, but not me. And Jesus said, Peter, before the rooster crows three times, you will deny me. Or before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. He's probably thinking, you know, I've seen the Lord do a lot of things. And I know he is powerful. And I've seen him walk on water and heal people and raise dead. But I just think he's a little bit off on this one. I'm not sure I'm agreeing with him on this one. Here he is, denying the Lord and the rooster crowed. Can you imagine? Oh my goodness. What have I done? How did I do this? I mean, it was a terrible thing. Listen, even when we fail, God is still faithful. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we believe not, yet he abides faithful. Amen. We often fail, but God will never fail us. Often we are not faithful, but thank God, great is his faithfulness. I'm not great, but how great thou art. When we fail, God is still faithful. In our failures, we need to learn to get up and keep moving. All things work together for good. That includes our failures. Pick up the broken pieces. Bring them to the Lord. Trust in his holy word. He will put them back together and make your life complete. Just place the broken pieces at the Savior's feet. You might feel like you've made a mess of things. Maybe you're here today and you've just experienced a big failure in your life, in your spiritual life. And you feel like you've just blown it. And maybe you have. But I'm here to tell you today that God is still on the throne and Jesus still loves you. And he wants to help you to be a success from your failure. Number two, second truth that'll help us to be successful in our failure. Number two, when we fail, God is sympathetic. Now look at verse 61. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Can you imagine that look? You know, when you're a kid and your parents give you a certain look, right? We have a phrase at our house. It's called the look. It's not always a look of compassion, though. Sometimes it's, you know, the look. Can you imagine Peter? He denies the Lord, the rooster crows, and about that time the Lord's looking at him. And I gotta tell you, I don't think it was a look of condemnation. I really don't. I think it was a look of compassion. I think it was a look of pity. I think it was a look that the Lord, that he was letting him know, I still love you. Remember what we learned on Wednesday? That Christ has been tempted in all points like we are, and yet without sin. And why was one of the things he did that? So that he could understand what it's like to be human. He became a human. He became a man. And he experienced temptations. He experienced tiredness. He experienced everything that we experience emotionally and physically. And so when you go through what you're going through, don't think that you don't have a God who knows how you feel. And when you go through these difficult times and when you even fail, God is sympathetic to you. He loves you. God will not change you so he will love you. God already loves you, and that's why he wants to change. You're already valuable to God. He doesn't want to change you to make you valuable. You're already valuable to God. All right? All right. Number three, the third truth that we can make failure a success in our lives. Now listen to this. I want you to listen to this carefully. Are you listening? Even in failing, we are secure in knowing Christ is still at work in our lives. Now, I want you to read verse 31 and 32 with me, if you still have your Bible. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you. And in King James it says desired, and that's what that word means. Permission. He has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Now you say, is that even possible? Well, think about Job. That's what the devil had to do with Job. So, and then verse 32 says, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Did you get that? The Lord is telling him, listen, you're going to fail. You're going to have a bad day here very shortly. The devil has desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat. That means the devil cannot get to you in this way unless he goes through God. You believe that? That's what it's telling us. He can't get to you unless he goes through God. And so you say, preacher, what does that mean? That means in the life of Peter, he said he wants to sift you as wheat. Now, what happens in a sifter? The wheat falls out because it's heavy and the chaff blows away, right? There's a sifter. They would turn it. And the wheat would fall to the ground in a pile and the chaff would just blow away. What God, I believe, is telling Peter is this trial is going to sift you because there are some things in your life that need to be blown away. One of them may have been pride. Remember what Peter said? They might deny you, but I won't. And so in this instance here, in this trial and this failure in Peter's life, God is using that to blow away the chaff of those things that Peter does not need in his life. Listen, I'm glad to know that even in our failures, God can work in our lives. Are you with me here? Listen, Satan has a malevolent motive, but Jesus has a benevolent motive. Amen? Hey, listen, just like David took Goliath's own sword and cut his head off, God can use what the devil tries to do in our life to make us better servants of God. Now, here's what Jesus sees. He sees the failure, that verse I read to you. But he sees his faith. He says, I prayed for you that your faith won't fail you. He knew that he would come through. And he sees a future that's going to be bright for Peter. God's going to use him. Imagine if he had said to Peter right here, Peter, don't worry, you're going to have a hard time, but you're going to preach to 3,000 people and they're going to get saved on Pentecost. You're going to preach to 5,000 people after that and they're going to get saved. You're going to write a couple epistles in the New Testament. You're going to go to Rome. You're going to preach at Rome and you're going to be crucified upside down because you are going to keep the faith at Rome when they're telling you not to. Peter, you're going to be okay. Listen, I think he says that to us. We're going to be okay. Let's just look to the Lord. When you fail, get back up. You're only a failure if you stay down. You're only a failure if you give up. Don't give up. Don't wallow in it. Look to the Lord. God loves you so much that he doesn't want to leave you the way you are. He wants to make you better. Close with this illustration. I like this. There's a couple named the Yorks. It was Parker and Flossie. True story. They were up in years. Flossie got Alzheimer's. And gradually and eventually, she completely, was unable to do anything. Nothing made sense. Mr. York later recounted how he had to do everything for her, feed, bathe, diaper. One day, sitting in their living room, she miraculously stepped out of that illness for just a moment. And she looked at him with eyes that seemed like they were the eyes from her past. And she said to her husband, do you want me? And he looked at her, he said, with my heart breaking, and he ran over to her and he said, of course I want you. The greatest privilege of my life is caring for you. And then she smiled, and just as quickly as she slipped out of that illness, she slipped back in. Here's what I want to close this with. I think sometimes after we fail, we think God don't want us. But I'm here to tell you, God does want you. And if you fail today, you talk to the Lord, and you make things right with him, and pick your cross up and start following him again. Because God loves you. Let's get a song. I'm going to pray why Logan's coming to sing. Father, we love you, and we thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for the power of your Word, the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that you love us, care for us, and even in our failures, you are sovereign. You're sympathetic, and Lord, you hold us secure even when we fall. Lord, speak to hearts today. May we be encouraged by this, and may we be motivated, Lord, to pick up and move forward, to never stop. Lord, maybe there's one here today thinking about stopping. Maybe they fail. touch their heart. In Jesus' name, amen.